Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View here on BBSRadio.com. I'm your humble host, PK, and I'm doing a pre-recorded interview for this evening, which is Monday, July 30th, 2012. I'm at BBSRadio.com Station 2 every Monday evening, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. I'm your humble host, PK, and as always, I give thanks to the suits in the office. Thank you, O glorious suits in the office of BBSRadio.com, for continually supporting free speech, free thought, staunch supporters of our First Amendment, and staunch supporters of alternative media. Thank goodness for alternative media, because the status quo, pro-Zionist corporate media filters everything out. It's heavily infiltrated by the CIA, and you're getting a very slanted, mixed thing on the news, take on the weekly news, or nightly news. So for that matter, I really appreciate alternative media for letting us get through, which is why governments around the world would like to be able to restrict our internet usage or be able to censor it or turn it off on a whim. But let's hope it never goes that way. And that's why companies like, or sites like BBSRadio.com are so important in promoting free speech, free thought, free minds, and free markets. A little thing about me, if you don't know, I cut to the chase. On this show, I talk about economics, politics, geography, history, political science, and I'm very anti-Zionist. And I'm very anti-Israel. I make no secret of that. And I hammer on these issues. I cut to the chase, and I offer solutions. Now, I may be critical. Maybe. I am critical of Zionism and Israel, but I am not a hater. I am not advocating anybody losing their civil rights, their human rights, or their constitutional rights. Now, I'm happy to have a friend come back on the show, my friend Mark. He'll be on shortly, and he is a leader and a proponent of fully informed juries, as I am. Mark is very hip to what's going on out there as far as our jury rights, and he has been persecuted and prosecuted for objectively handing out fully informed jury pamphlets outside of courthouses, which has nothing to do with jury tampering and everything to do with informing jurors as to their rights, which mainly means in victimless crime cases that the jurors could vote their conscience, their mind and their conscience. They can ignore what many cases, a lot of these stupid laws are, and they can vote their conscience, which means that they can rule, they can vote to overturn a conviction. So they might not be able to get rid of laws, but they can get rid of bad laws. And there are plenty of those. Probably 90% of the laws on the books are quite unnecessary. Most of the important laws are about, you know, protecting people from force and fraud, and of course the prohibition of murder, rape, arson, armed robbery, kidnapping. We understand that, at least some of us do. But as far as the drug laws, prostitution, gambling, tax evasion, so much that the state likes to put out there as new laws or make us think that we have to conform so that the American sheeple will go along with that. But on this show, I hammer against all of that stuff because I don't like what's happening to our country. You probably don't either. And so that's why it's so important to be aware of fully informed juries. New Hampshire, as I understand it, has, by legislation now, attorneys can tell juries or that they can vote their conscience. They can vote to nullify bad laws. So, and with that, I'd like to welcome Mark. Mark, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here, Fred.
That's PK here. Welcome you back to Third Stream View with your humble host, PK.
Thank you for inviting me back. It's great.
Would you care for some tea or coffee?
Not at the moment. I'm fine.
Well, that's good because it's self-service here.
Yeah.
So we spoke a while back about your activity with the Fully Informed Jury Association and handing out pamphlets.
Yep.
Is it, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but was it New Hampshire that has recently overturned the fact that, a law is that now the attorneys can inform jurors about their rights?
Yeah, it's New Hampshire. They're the one that just passed that law.
Well, that's great news.
The law says that the defense lawyers are now, only now, allowed to tell the jury that they have the right to judge the law as much as the defendant. That's something brand new.
And
brand new with New Hampshire. Mm-hmm.
Do you think this will spread?
Say again?
Do you think that this concept will spread to other states?
I sure hope it does, and, we're working on it everywhere, but you got to start somewhere.
That's true, and I applaud your recent suit against Belvin Perry.
Yeah. There's actually three things going on. It's I filed a suit for no monetary damages, just against Belvin Perry and the state of Florida for violating the Constitution. And that's a federal lawsuit. Federal.
Well, I hope he's aware of it.
That's a real important thing when it's a federal lawsuit. Everything kind of changes.
Has he been served on this, or how does that work?
Yeah, the state of Florida and then and Belvin Perry would be served by the federal government. That's how it happened. Yeah. Now that's one lawsuit. Actually, it's a complaint, but it becomes a lawsuit. And that was about almost 2 weeks ago. And then I also filed a complaint with the state attorney last Friday against Chief Judge Belvin Perry for violating the election laws, which has nothing to do with Fully Informed Jury Association. But it's just something that, if I've got to obey the rules, the chief judge of Ninth District Court ought to follow the rules also.
Well, that's for sure. And I hope it causes him a lot of grief because he deserves it. It's just, I call these judges dictators in black robes.
Yeah, I know. The guys that keep cross-dressing. Yeah, I know.
Ah. Well, and they're all, they're all statists to the core.
Right. Right.
So what's happening with, is your situation still pending with Belvin's judgment against you?
Yeah, I'm still out on appeal. I had 151 days is what he sends me to, and on one account, 146 days on the other administrative order I violated, he said, and the biggest one is not being in the free speech zone. So when I went down there these last two times, I made sure I stood in the free speech zone, a 10-foot by 30-foot rectangle, about 300 feet out in front of the courthouse in Orange County, Florida, when I gave the news conference. Because technically he also put a no trespassing order on me for the Orange County Courthouse, which is also against the Constitution because you can't put a no trespassing order on anybody on private property. On public property. You
right.
Can't put a no trespassing order on anybody on public property.
Right. Well, I hope, I hope this causes us some grief. I hope he loses the election. I've already voted against him.
Mm-hmm.
And proud to do that. In fact, whenever, I don't know, you know, most people, they don't know who judges are. I mean, you know, because it affected you personally, but most people don't know who judges are. Therefore, for years now, whenever I vote in an election, when it says, shall judge so-and-so be retained in office, I always vote no. I want to change things.
Yeah.
You know, as much as possible. And here I was under the impression that the whole country was pretty much a free speech zone pertaining to these sort of issues.
Yeah, my wire. Yeah, you would think the entire country is a free speech zone. Of course, you now private property. The wire that plugged in here.
Right.
Let me have that. I got to get a wire here before my phone goes dead.
No problem.
Okay.
Yeah, but I understand the difference for private property, but, you know, not on public property.
No. You know, and we went through that. We were handing out flyers out at Volusia County Courthouse because we can do it in every courthouse there is, except in the 9th District, which is Belvin Perry's courthouse. And also Osceola County is in the 9th District. But we were handing them out up in Volusia County, and they came through with us and tried to say we couldn't do it because it was private property.
They said the courthouse was private property?
Yeah, they told us it was private property and we couldn't hand out the flyers. And I said, well, who owns it? They go to Volusia County. And I said, well, in that case, it's public property. He said, oh, well, okay, now you can hand them out.
Wow.
Yeah, so they mostly just intimidate you to make you go away. But they lie to you about what your rights are. So you have to research it.
Oh, of course, but it's just funny that they try to get away with that, and so many Americans are just sheeple. They just back down. They back away.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because the preservation of freedom requires constant vigilance.
Yeah, true, and that's something that we Ron Paul, Gary Johnson people are very much aware of.
Oh, yeah, we know it, because they're trying to stop us every way we can. So that's mostly the news going on. It's the appeal is the first issue, and then the second issue is the federal lawsuit against the state of Florida and Chief Judge Belvin Perry, and then the third item is the complaint filed with the state attorney for him violating election laws.
Now, is this federal suit going to cost you a lot, or how does this work?
No, it was $350 pro bono, meaning free. But I had to pay out $350 just for the filing fees. Out of pocket.
Now, will you have an attorney? How is this going to work?
Yeah. The attorney filed it. The federal complaint, the federal lawsuit against Belvin Perry and the state of Florida, he just did it free. And then it doesn't come back on me because I'm not asking for any monetary damages now. I'm only asking for, I'm really just asking for him to reprimand him, you know, and stop this stuff. I mean, you can't have a chief judge of a whole district court making unconstitutional administrative orders. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, I like your take on that because since you're not after money, it gives you even more integrity.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, it's I'd just rather, you know, be living, fighting on my feet than dying on my knees.
Well, and plus you'll start to make thousands from your speaking engagements from this.
You know, I haven't even thought around that edge. If it happens, yeah, if it doesn't. At least I'll go down in history as a happy person that I did something.
Well, there you go. And if it does happen, take the money because it's a different situation then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely,
you earned it
through
speaking engagements.
That's right. But I'm still plenty active. Like today, we Patriots, I couldn't make it. I had to work, but I got it all organized. The Patriots handed out feature flyers, fully informed jury association flyers at Seminole County Courthouse. From about 7:30 to 8:15.
Yeah.
You know, we're still doing something every Monday morning. The juries are only called in Seminole County and Volusia County on Mondays. Now, Orange County and Osceola County, our other neighboring counties here, Orange County I live in, they call in juries 4 days a week. They have so many cases.
Wow.
And they call in 1,000 people and about 600 show up, and of those, they pick maybe 300 per day. That's a lot of court cases.
Wow.
And the other exciting news is Tom Grader, one of our Patriots, ended up being on a jury, and he was one of the five jurors that voted to acquit, and the jurors voted to convict on a really crazy crime of it was an 18-year-old guy, and he was locked up and put in jail, and his charge was for resisting arrest without violence. But he wasn't being arrested.
Wow.
So anyhow, Maya is the only guy, and he said, no, I'm not going to put somebody in jail when there's no victim, because there's no victim. So he acquitted, and then it ended up being a hung jury, and that became a mistrial. And then the state of Florida, just 2 days later, ordered a new trial with a new judge and a new jury, and all six of those jurors acquitted. All six of them.
Say, all jurors, I'm a little confused. They didn't want those jurors again?
No, no. Yeah, what it is the first case, when it was heard, a kid, Alfonso, he was acquitted by our guy that was on the jury, only one. It takes only one to acquit out of six. So became a hung jury time on a Tuesday. So therefore, the judge had to declare a mistrial. And no more than 2 days later on Thursday, the state of Florida decided to get a new judge and a new jury and hear the case again because it was a mistrial. They're allowed to do that.
Oh, if it's a mistrial.
And those six jurors all voted to acquit.
The
same
great
guy, the same case, the same cop, the same charge, and they've all six of them voted to acquit, where more than 2 days earlier, five of them wanted to convict and only one wanted to acquit.
And it was the same jurors?
No, no. They get a new judge and a new set of jurors.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. It seems like things are moving along a little bit. People are waking up.
Well, that's right, because we're enlightening them about jury nullification. Because in the first trial on Alfonso, five wanted to convict, saying the law is the law is the law is the law. And if the policeman said that he violated the law, then we should convict. And my man, who knows jury nullification, said, wait, why would we convict somebody when there's no victim? There's no victim here. Nobody got hurt. But property was damaged. So why would we convict somebody?
So the real victim is quite often the real victim is the First Amendment.
That's exactly right. That's really what's going on with me when they put in a free speech zone, completely unconstitutional. And this is the only courthouse in the whole country, now, that has a free speech zone. So if I lose this appeal, technically other courthouses now can set a precedent, and then they can put a free speech zone at their courthouse, and basically you can't petition your government anymore.
Well, if I can inject my sarcasm here, gee, thank you for your service, Mr. Veteran, for protecting our rights to free speech.
Well, you know, when I was interviewed by the news last Friday when I was filing that complaint against Chief Judge Belvin Perry, I told him, I said, listen, I am a veteran, and I took an oath to defend and uphold the Constitution, and I plan on doing that. Now, I'm going to do it, and I've got to go by the rules. Now, the Chief Judge Belvin Perry has to do it, and he's not going by the rules because it's against the Constitution, the things that he is doing.
And you said that to who?
I said that to the news media. We had the Orlando Sentinel, and we had Channel 9 and Channel 6 down there interviewing me.
Great, great. And how do you look on TV? You look as dashing and handsome as always?
Well, I hope so. But, you know, the phones haven't been ringing that much, so I guess I'm okay.
Well, I'm glad that you're, you're keeping up your efforts there. Hey, what do you think is going to happen come Tampa next month?
You know, a lot of things are going to happen in Tampa. I just can't believe it. And they're going to have a protest march that goes from University of South Florida, 8 miles down to the Republican National Convention Hall. But the city of Tampa said nobody's allowed to have any bottles of any kind. So here we got Florida weather in the dead of August, and nobody's allowed to carry any water because they're not allowed to have containers.
They're not allowed to have containers at the convention?
When they're in the building, they can. But the city of Tampa put in this, quote, clean zone, which is a five-mile radius around from the convention center.
Because
and in that five-mile radius, you're not allowed to have containers.
Is that because of the terrorists will put, like, gasoline or stuff in the containers?
Right. So they don't know if it's gasoline or whatever else. So now you don't have any water if you want to protest.
Wow.
See,
well,
you know,
of course,
that's the way they eliminate people. They just make ridiculous law or ruling.
Well, of course, and of course, terrorism is the excuse for everything now.
Right, right.
Even the British at the Olympics are very heavy-handed with rockets and all kinds of stuff.
Right, yeah.
Seems like the worst time a terrorist would ever want to attack something so heavily guarded and, aware of their, you know, goals, but I hardly think the terrorists would, that's not the site that they would attack.
Well, one way it could be a site, there are a few theories that would be a good place to, because everybody in the world would see it if they did a protest or a terrorist attack or whatever. It's kind of like hitting the Twin Towers in New York in 9/11, because they were such emblems of freedom, you know, they were high and grandeur and all this. And then, you know, supposedly they took them down to nothing, you know, immediately. So, you know, how safe are we all? That's one way to keep us in fear. Of course, you know, there's a whole ton of stories on 9/11, but anyhow, that's... So when it comes to terrorists, they might be looking for something just as spectacular as that.
Well, London right now is prime for a nice false flag attack, isn't it?
It sure is. It's just set up perfect. Yep.
I don't know if you've been there, but it's one of my favorite cities. I've been there many times. I love London. I love England. But I'm glad to see that the British people are fed up with these wars. And they're getting a raw deal on the Olympics. The British taxpayers forking out a lot for the Olympics.
You know, we did that same thing when Romney was in St. Louis. Is basically the taxpayers the ones that are paying for all this.
Even though
the vendors go ahead and pay out some money, it doesn't cover near the amount of money it costs to put one of these things on, especially since we're broke.
Was it St. Louis? Or I thought it was in Utah or Idaho.
One of those. I might be a little bit messed up on that.
So, in other words, Romney...
St. Louis, it was, I forget now.
In other words, Romney is another sort of corporatist businessman. He used tax funds to do this Olympic stuff.
Right. They use tax funds to set up the infrastructure, and then they make money off of all the vendors who make money off of the observers, the people that pay the money for the ticket. It's all about the money, as usual.
Well, that is not bad in itself, but it's how that money is derived, who it's coming from, and who is using it. And, of course, it is not a free market.
No. You're right.
Therefore, Romney is a right-wing corporate socialist running against Obama, the left-wing corporate socialist, both financed by Wall Street, both serving the big banks in Wall Street, the military-industrial complex, and one of my main pet peeves, the all-powerful Israeli lobby.
Right.
In fact, Romney just went to genuflect in Jerusalem. He's got his little skull cap on at the Wailing Wall, you know, is something you do. Imagine that, going over there to be made kingmaker. You have to get their approval of the lobby.
Yeah, unbelievable.
People are waking up to that, though.
I hope they are, because, you know, most people haven't figured out that if you vote for Romney or Obama, it's still... You know, you're still voting for Goldman Sachs.
That's right.
Yep.
That is exactly right. Of course, you know, I take it further, but I'm pretty good at this now. I've been studying it for almost 10 years. It's the Zionist banking crowd. They're behind this, in my view, the Rothschilds, of course, they're tied in with the Rockefeller, that whole globalist New World Order crowd.
Yep.
And there for those...
And most people don't have a clue to what's really going on, because since they own mainstream news, you aren't ever going to see it.
Yes, and the CIA is part of their tentacles. The CIA, which is running a lot of drugs still. So it's all sort of like tied in together. And of course, they're in league with global Zionism or international Jewry, which I like to speak about. And I'm not intimidated about it because I know my stuff and I can hang with the best of them. So that's a topic that they don't want to talk about. And of course,
right. They
always throw out you're anti-Semitic, this and that, or you know, hate. But I don't preach hate. You know, because my criticisms are not followed by kill so-and-so or take their rights away. But they like to, you know, opposition likes to conflate things and say you're a hater. Like on this whole Chick-fil-A thing, you know, I've been writing, like, whatever happened to, freedom of association and freedom of contract? If you don't like it, don't eat there.
Right.
You know, and I'm a non-militant atheist, so I don't care about the religious aspect. In the sense that if that's what the owner wants to do, if he wants to be closed on Sundays, and that's his view about marriage, good for him.
Yep.
Because as I pointed out in some of my debates on YouTube and whatnot, you know, Mark, I think you'll agree, it doesn't matter. Gay chickens and straight chickens are pretty much cooked the same way.
Right. Sure.
You didn't chuckle at my humor.
Yeah, so who would care?
You didn't chuckle at my humor there, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Let me step out of here.
So how's your business going? I'm not prying about your...
No, that's okay. We get jobs here and there. They're just kind of like little jobs. Nothing, you know, nothing real big. Everybody's out of money, and we mostly do commercial roofing and insulation and... You know, these people just don't know if they're going to have a tenant next week to be dumping money into their building.
Yeah, I'm suffering right now because I have rental properties and it's all college and I usually have all of them rented. I have three and I've only got one out of three rented right now. So I'm trying to find some tenants. Yeah, it's not good. So I'm starting to feel this recession too. I think the recession is getting worse.
Well, some people say most of us agree it's getting worse, but others are saying that certain business say some things are coming back, but on the whole, everybody is just scared about investing in anything. They just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
It's that whole feeling of uncertainty.
Right. Yeah. Lack of confidence. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm glad you're hanging in there. I mean, a lot of people are just hanging in there, but it's not a It's not a fun feeling. It's like, you know, I don't like limbo.
No, it's like walking on eggshells every day. What do you do?
That's true. Well, what I would have done, we've been out of this mess by now, but we don't have an Austrian economist in the White House.
Yep.
And the thing about being a self-proclaimed free market economist, of one of my many talents, is that when you are a free market economist, as Ron Paul is also, you have a very good overview of society and how things should work.
Yep.
I thought it was funny that, and very truthful, though, they put up a sign, I believe it's in Oregon, comparing the shooter in Colorado to the number of people who continue to die in Obama's wars.
That's exactly right. I know, and things that people never even think about because you never see it or hear about it on mainstream news. All these poor, innocent, collateral damage deaths and people that are getting injured by our U.S. actions, and you never hear about it.
That's true. And it's funny because I keep hammering Obama supporters online or YouTube or whatever. I hammer them big time about Obama's wars and all the people that are dying and the fact that he's signed the Patriot Act. I don't even get into Romney. I said, you know, and they remain sadly silent pretty much about extending the Patriot Act, keeping Gitmo open for business, expanding the wars, and tripling Bush's drone attacks.
Right.
This drone stuff really upsets me. And I said profoundly, as I'm sure others did, but I'm tooting my own horn here because I'm the mighty PK and it's my show. But I knew when I first heard about these damn drones, I said, these things are coming to America sooner than you would believe. And here they are.
Yep.
And all the goddamn police stations want them. You know, law enforcement wants them. They have really small ones that can fit in your hand, hover around, and they could probably go down your chimney, get into your house. I mean, I hate the scenario that's coming up.
Yep.
Now, my only hope is that some smart entrepreneurs, businessmen, whiz kid, geeky nerd scientists come up with some handheld things that destroy them or some technology that destroys them. Although the pricks in government are certainly going to say, anybody who knowingly disables or shoots down a domestic drone will be, you know, guilty of da-da-da-da-da. Well, that's why we need fully informed juries.
And the other thing is, it's unconstitutional because that violates posse comitatus of the Constitution, whereas they're not allowed to put the military, are not allowed to be on our streets. They can be trained in this country, but it's up to the local police and maybe the National Guard, but everything be bringing in the Marines and or walking up and down our streets. And that's written into the Constitution. These drones are the same way. As a matter of fact, in Syria now, they have so many drones flying around, they're becoming hazards to commercial aircraft they're trying to take off and land.
Wow. Well, yeah, and that whole Syria thing, that's being enabled by U.S. and Israel. They're behind this. And, you know, here's a secular Muslim country. I mean, I'm totally against intervening there. And, of course, Israel wants probably to – maybe we'll attack them. That's the stepping stone to Iran.
Right.
And Iran, of course, stands for Israel requires American naivety.
I never heard that. I-R-A-N. That's good.
Thank you. I, P-K, came up with that.
Yeah.
As I have for Iraq, Mark.
Yeah.
Idiotic Republican authorized quagmire.
Yep, that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is, and it's a $1 trillion mess. As was the war on drugs. All these federal things are a massive failure. The federal government, in my humble yet all knowing opinion, is the enemy.
Yes. Right. You know, everything you're saying there, PK, is true. And even my brother, who's a multimillionaire, you know, he's always going after the welfare cheats and all this and the Muslims and all that. And I'm going, wait a minute, Bill. The one who made you lose 40% of your net worth wasn't Al-Qaeda or the terrorists or anything. It was our own government. Maybe you've got the wrong bill in here.
That's true. Well, it sounds like he's drank the neocon poison Kool-Aid.
Yeah, he is, you know, and he wants to put in Romney, even though he knows Romney's no good, because he just figures that Romney is a little bit better than Obama. And I'm trying to tell him, I said, it's like making a choice. Do you want to vote for Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin? Which, well, how do you make a decision? Stalin killed 20 million people, and Adolf Hitler killed 7 million Jews. So, I mean, does that mean you're going to vote for Hitler instead of Stalin?
Well, I'll tell you, now is not the time to debate this, but I would take Hitler over Stalin any day. Because I've been studying this, too, and, you know, as bad as it was, if you could only choose between one or two, I know which side I would choose. But and here's the thing. Here's the real clincher about this whole thing. As people continue to blame the banks, you know, the banksters, right?
Yeah.
And they're right, the people who are down on these banksters. Here is the ultimate irony, and I never would have believed it. But my research and my own study has taken me here. And I'll be damned if this same Zionist banker crowd is not the same crowd that Hitler railed against.
Really?
Very tough information to even think about or accept.
Right.
And some would say that he screwed him later on, Hitler did. But he did have some backing by some of these people. Yeah, I mean, these are the bankers, the international bankers who bankroll both sides of wars. These are the people they railed against, 80 years ago. So
yeah.
you know, come full circle, I'm thinking, this is sort of what I've come to the conclusion. And I'm not a hater. As I discuss this with you, above my desk is Ludwig von Mises. Behind me is Ayn Rand. I got Murray Rothbard to my left, you know, all these Jewish intellectuals. So this is not hate-based. This is like what I've sort of like come to the conclusion of. As bizarre as it seems, these bankers, it's the legacy, these same bankers, this Rothschild banking cartel and their minions, the George Soros, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, you know, it's an interconnected globalist banking mess. And right. they keep getting bailed out by the taxpayer. So, you know, it's just a problem that continues, and it hasn't gone away or subsided. People are bitching about it, but I see the same mess going on.
Yeah, it's like nothing changes.
Right, and you know, the Occupy Wall Street crowd, I agree. I had a very narrow agreement with them. If they're talking about the military-industrial complex and corporate welfare and bailouts and, you know, corporate socialism, I'm right there in agreement. But in general, if they want to promote, you know, a larger welfare state, I am not in agreement with them.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a problem. And it's, you know, it's trickled through our economy. That idiot Krugman, I saw him on This Week yesterday, ABC. That idiot Krugman, Paul Krugman, is willing to accept more inflation to get us out of this mess.
Yeah, you know, it's so, especially when you get these people that are supposed to have initials that are supposed to know what they're talking about, and I'm trying to figure out whose altar are they genuflecting at? You know, what's going on here? Who are you working for?
They're
making sense.
They're genuflecting to the Fed.
That's it, and to the New World Order, the people that are the puppet masters. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's unbelievable, but yet we know that it's happening, and a way to prove this is for those who don't believe that there is this crowd, that they have this power. What I would advocate, you would see who screams the loudest, these globalists. If we got rid of the UN, the IMF, the World Bank, NATO, the EU, pulled out of the NAFTA, CAFTA, World Trade Organization, you'd see who screamed the loudest. It would be these globalist oligarchs.
Right.
Now, here's something that I got in 2009, I received. Here is, I forget where I got this, but a friend sent it to me. Here is a list of the eight owners, the primary owners of the Federal Reserve Bank. Make of it what you will. The Rothschilds of London and Berlin. The Lazard Brothers of Paris. Israel Moses Seif of Italy. Kahn, Loeb & Company of Germany and New York. Warburg & Company of Hamburg, Germany. Lehman Brothers of New York. Goldman Sachs of New York. Rockefeller Brothers of New York. So there's a very deep Zionist Jewish influence in the Fed. And, of course, they're minions in the Masonic Rockefeller. So that, as I know, best to my knowledge, and, of course, there's Morgan interest in this too, but as I understand it, those are the primary movers and shakers who own the Fed.
Right. Those are Those are the puppet masters that own the whole world. That's right. Those are the guys.
Now, here you go. Here you go. Again, back to my startling conclusion. This is the same crowd Hitler railed against.
Right.
This is the Kaiser abdicated in 1918 and fled to Holland. So in 1919, at the Versailles Conference in France, when they gave away Germany and trashed Germany, it was a lot of the Germany's or the Kaiser's Jewish lawyers who negotiated this. And therefore the hypocritical British and French empires took and plundered former German colonies. and try to make Germany look like the bad guy. They plundered German gold. They plundered German factories and technology. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons for this sort of stuff that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm agreeing with you. You're right.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people find this hard to believe, or they don't want to talk about it. But I don't care. I'll talk about it. And again, I'm not a hater, and it's not connected to hate. So that's how it is. I consider myself sort of a self-proclaimed authority on it. I can hold my own against opponents and those who want to call me names. Go ahead, let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a very I wrote today. I don't on Facebook. I look forward to the day when Israel gets its boot off America's neck, because I know of no other foreign country that exerts so much power over us, who's infiltrated our government with their Mossad, and dictates U.S. foreign policy. I mean, I want to shut off all the money to Israel, tax money, and I want an arms embargo. Of course, I want to shut off the tax foreign aid to other countries too, but I look at them as the main problem. And outside of this country, Europe knows what I'm talking about. South America, Asia, this is nothing unusual to them. But in here, people, they want us to think that, you know, Israeli interests and U.S. interests are the same, and they're not.
No, they're not the same at all. Since we covered most of that for your listeners out there, your audience, has anybody really come up with an idea on how we're going to spread the word, PK?
The spread the word about the...
About freedom and the puppet masters and the New World Order. Has anybody figured out, you know, how we're going to pull this off? You know, because we got to start bringing people around, because most of them don't have a clue to what's going on.
Yeah, you're right. I know that Alex Jones does what he can. We do what we can. But it's met with a lot of people who like to, even fellow travelers who like to, with other issues, who like to say we damaged the Ron Paul campaign. Those of us who are truthers, or they like to call us conspiratorialists, you know, so we have to, I just keep on doing what we're doing, and thank goodness for alternative media like bbsradio.com.
You know, when we were up there listening to Richard Gage with the Architects Engineers for 9/11 Truth, I said to Richard Gage, I said, well, how do we spread this? What do we do? And what he recommended is, he says, you just got to go up to people and say, do you ever wonder about, do you ever wonder about, like, it has to be something current in the news that they might be familiar with, is like that James Holmes that shot up everybody, killed whatever, 12 people and wounded 50 or whatever, I don't know. But do you ever make people wonder, like, how did this happen, and where does somebody like that get $5,000 or $6,000 to buy all that stuff? The kid didn't have any money. So if we just go to people and say, do you ever just think this, blah, 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 this, because the only thing I think we can do is just kind of plant seeds and let them take it from there.
Yeah. Well, do you think this guy was enabled? One explanation I heard for his having the funds to do this was, and I don't know how this stuff was purchased, but if he had a credit card, he might have had a limit that, you know, allowed him to get this and then put him into debt like so many college kids.
Well, that could be one thing, and he just picked up a $25,000 grant somehow in the research he was doing. So the kid wasn't any dodo. He had intelligence. And then the next issue that comes up is even the police, that it took them 2 days to get all the traps out of the guy's apartment. And he says they were so unbelievably sophisticated, they couldn't figure them out. So how does this kid get the knowledge? And then after he goes to all the trouble to booby trap his own apartment, which takes them 2 days to figure out how to get in it, he's so forthcoming, he tells them it's booby trapped. Things don't make sense here at all.
I thought it was pretty clever how he booby-trapped all that. You know,
clever, it's almost like he wouldn't have that knowledge.
You wonder if he was enabled by the FBI or the CIA. Who knows?
Well, you're right. But it's one of those things that you could talk to people about and kind of like plant that seed, like, hey, why do you think this is going on? You know, it doesn't make sense. And that's what we have to do, I think, as patriots, is just plant seeds, you know, and then hope you have somebody with enough, intelligence or whatever, so they can start figuring this stuff out on their own.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, since you have the CIA and Mossad and MI6, they are masters of deception. So
right.
We might know, we might not know, or we might not ever know. Did I tell
that's
you,
right.
I don't know if you know this. I just learned this about maybe 3 months ago. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, talking about our friends in the CIA, who I'm sure are listening now, these fellow American pricks who would like to shut me down and all the alternative media because they don't like what I have to say. They don't like where I'm coming from, but there's not much they can do about it yet.
Well, you know, they don't like me.
I know. Well, did you know that the Zapruder film, I think they whacked Kennedy on a Thursday, but over that weekend they got a hold of that film, the CIA, and they edited out maybe 35 frames?
Yep.
Now, here's the other big clincher. They also, soon after, removed the windshield from the limo because it had a bullet hole from the front.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them. You're right.
Yep. Man, that is something.
You know, and right now, when we're talking about them controlling the news and the media and Kennedy and this James Holmes, I mean, there's so many things that don't all make sense there. But now the other really big financial thing that's coming up is LIBOR. You know, that's the interest rate the banks charge each other. And that determines what the bond rates are for any city or government entity, may it be a county or city, you know, like when they borrow money for the stadium or they borrow money here in the interest rates. Well, with LIBOR, they figured out that all these different banks got together and set price. It wasn't a flexible interest rate. They were building it up.
Yeah.
But you never hear about that much on the news. You hear the word LIBOR, but you don't hear much on anything else.
Well, I'm not surprised, you know.
I'm not surprised either, but I've never... I never can accept it. I never, like, dismiss it like most of us do.
I was surprised to find out how much the Fed has bailed out foreign banks or foreign countries or foreign businesses.
Yep.
I mean, they need to have their feet held to the fire big time. I mean, I've been in favor of a trial and execution for economic treason for Greenspan and Bernanke for years.
I know. And now that finally, thank goodness for Ron Paul, that we got the audit the Fed bill passed in the House, if it gets through the Senate and then even makes it to Obama's desk for some reason, you know that Obama's going to go ahead and veto that sucker.
Well, he and Romney are pro-Fed.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. All of them are. Yep. Except for the Patriots, you know. But I'm impressed that Ron Paul got it through. But it's all a circle here, and everything we talk about always seems to be coming back to the banks and the people that control the banks and the Israelis.
Well, it's why they call it a central bank, central banking. You know, and that it does come back to that. The Fed caused the Great Depression, and
yep.
It was set up as a lie in the first place, you know, because they wanted people to think that the Fed, the lender of last resort, is going to save them from their other monetary problems or issues. Then, you know, it won't. It can't. It can just print more money and destroy the value further of our dollars.
That's right.
You know?
Yep.
So, okay, listen, we just have a few minutes left here, but I'm going to take us in another direction here.
Okay.
And I want to talk about music.
Sure.
So... you have used to play keyboards and sing? Did you used to have an R&B background? Is that correct?
Oh, I don't know. I was just a lounge lizard, you know, just play, you know, I used to play a B3 organ, a Hammond B3 organ down on International Drive here. And so,
you know,
one time we'd be Misty and the next song would be a YMCA. You know, you just had to play everything.
Wow. Where was this at?
Down at, it used to be called the High Q. But now it's called something else. It's that real tall building, the round building right near Kirkman, and international
drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you also read music, or did you read music?
Well, I read music just enough to stumble through it, enough to get the song out, but I can't fluently read, especially when I quit, after you quit playing, you know, you just don't, you don't keep doing it, you lose it, so.
Well, it does come back to you. In fact, my band has a reading gig.
Yeah?
We all read music, what? But I hope it doesn't sound like we're reading music.
No, no, especially if you're those horn players. They all got to read music. They don't have any choice. I mean, it ain't going to work unless they read music.
That's because those lazy bastards don't memorize parts like rhythm section players do. But they sure add to the sound of a band.
Oh, do they, man? I just love hearing those guys. You know me, I got to be one of your best patriots there.
Well, we appreciate that. But you've been coming now for a few months to see us, and no doubt you've heard the band evolve and get tighter, I hope.
Oh, heck yeah. Sure I have. Right. Right.
So how do you think it's coming off?
I think it's coming great. You know, the best part I like is when you guys screw up and then you go ahead and fix it right in the middle of the song and hardly anybody notices except me.
Ah! Well, I have stopped the band a few times.
Really? Oh, I miss that excitement.
I don't know if you ever did that. Well, I said, stop, okay, take it here or take it there, and then we just, you know, fix it. The thing, the gig is sort of like a paid rehearsal. Recently, I refer to it as the best, most prestigious, low-paying weekly gig in town. Are you still there, or did we lose you? I think we may have lost you. I'm going to try to get back with you and see if we can get you back. Ladies and gentlemen, I've lost my caller. Gremlin's in the mix. I don't think it was the CIA. Let me see if the suits are on top of this. We can get Mark to come back. I'm giving you the number. Is he back? Okay, I just sent you the number again. Maybe it's busy. He's trying. Well, he wouldn't know who to call. Or maybe he would.
I was on my side. My tower every once in a while drops a call, but I'm here.
Okay, great. Welcome back, sir. So,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, sometimes I've stopped the band, but and just to tweak a few things. But it's like I like to say that this gig is the most our gig is the best, most prestigious, low-paying weekly gig in town.
Yeah, well, what the heck? It's just, you know, it's paid practice, so...
That's
know,
right, it's a paid
heck?
Rehearsal, but whoever sits in with us, boy, you got to bring it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of blues jams around town, and I understand that, and there's a lot of people who don't play music for, you know, full-time that do these gigs. And so, you know, there's a different level of musicianship, but I've managed to keep our level quite high.
Yeah. Yeah, you have. Yep. You know. And I see new horn players there every week, and they all do fine, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, the word's getting out, and, you know, they all read pretty well. This is an area with musicians who know how to read pretty well. So, you know, hopefully we don't sound like we're reading music, but, you know, we're trying to give it that authentic kind of blast that it needs. In fact, this week is our last gig for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, y'all let me sing Vehicle then if it's your last gig.
You want to sing Vehicle? Well, we'll be back. We'll be back in September, and then by then, depending on how you sing Vehicle, people will have forgotten it and they'll come back.
Yeah, right. A second chance. Well, the only thing it slows us down is the Campaign for Liberty. I think has got their meeting on. Thursday too, so it slows me down from getting there, but sure.
Yeah, I wish it didn't have to clash with that, but yeah. I am the logical successor to Ron Paul, and
oh.
I do want my own Bill Maher show, so keep that in mind.
Sure, makes sense to me, why not?
So how do you like our song list usually? You enjoy a lot of that music?
I love all of it, you know. Of course, you know, I'm a swing dancer, so I just kind of hunt for swing songs to dance with, but No, I tap my foot to anything. I mean, how can you go wrong? An 11-piece band with a bunch of people singing out front. I mean, you just can't get that anywhere in town. It's just wonderful.
Brass kicks ass, baby.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You know, BB King's Club on iDrive has a band similar to ours. I don't know if you've heard them.
No, I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah, and some of their guys sub in my band.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, theirs is a more high-profile, higher-paying gig, but, you know, for selfish reasons, and I'm tooting my own horn here, I think I have a better band. We have a better band, personally.
Really?
I think we have a better rhythm section, and my horn section is pretty damn good, and I got better singers. I think I have better vocals, yeah.
Yep.
What we really always like is to have guest vocalists, because when some of our main peeps can't make it, the guest vocalists get us through. We will have probably four of them this week.
Yep.
But, you know, we're staying on that path of the, you know, the horn-driven R&B, funk, blues, soul. We do some swing tunes. I didn't know that you were a swing dancer.
Oh, yeah, I took lessons for years, and I keep forgetting my steps unless I get out somewhere and keep trying to remember them. Yeah.
Yeah, we do a Harry James song. We do Sinatra. We do... Dean Martin. We haven't done them lately, but they're in the book. And we can play that there. What I really like about this gig is I have pretty much complete artistic freedom. I don't take advantage of it, but I have it.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to get done is, if I can, maybe when we come back, is I'm trying to get a nice curtain put up behind us that will close, and then the art, you know, they sell art. They haven't lately, but the art on their walls that's for sale will only be covered during a show, and then you open the curtain and the art is, you know, you can see the art again.
Yeah, sure.
And it should help the sound, too.
Yeah. But it would help the sound immensely there. That would be one of the best things you could do. And I'm agreeing with you, because it clutters up the scene you're trying to create.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking into a nice medium-weight crimson-colored, which I think would look very cool.
Yeah.
And when you've been out to hear the band, how does the mix sound usually? Is it pretty decent?
Well, it changes a lot, so he can balance it where you sit in the room.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a small venue, so, you know, naturally it's subjective to where you're sitting.
Well, and if you sit too close to the front, you might not hear the PA as well, because the suspended speakers are, if you're under them or not in front of them enough, you may not hear the sound as well.
Right.
Well, I appreciate you coming out to hear us, and I hope you'll come out whenever you can and bring some more of the gang.
Okay.
Because we've kept it going for 6 months, and it sure is fun to play, and we look forward to our fans and those who want to keep supporting live music. I'm glad we've kept it going as long as we have.
Yeah.
And I think we'll keep it going.
Right.
So if you can also get folks to come out from the Ron Paul meetup, if there's time, that's a great thing too, because that helps spread the word and, you know, get us known through the crowd that, you know, I sort of self-proclaimed mover shaker myself there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, cool. And with that, Mark, I'm going to wind this down and thank you so much again for coming on back on to Third Stream View. Appreciate you coming on and sharing your information with us about what's happening with the Fully Informed Juries, your take on things. Are you going to be in Tampa?
Oh, yeah, I know I'm going to be down there. Of course, you know, staying out of jail might be a little problem for me, because I don't really like everything they're doing.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I won't be there because it clashes with what I'm up to. But I appreciate everything you do and coming out to hear the band. And thanks again for coming on Third Stream View here. And with that, I'm going to sign off. So this is your humble host, PK, signing off here at Third Stream View, where I am here every Monday evening at bbsradio.com, station 2, 855 Pacific, 1055 Central, 1155 Eastern. Good night, everyone.
Okay, see ya.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep.